Welcome to WGMC at 50, a historical podcast series reflecting back on the five decades that WGMC Jazz 90.1 has been on the air in Rochester. WGMC 90.1 FM signed on for the very first time on November 1st, 1973.
We now commence with our first day of broadcast.
I'm Rob Linton, station manager of Jazz 90.1, and I've spent the past few months talking with WGMCers, past and present, and those who have had a hand in getting this radio station to where it is today, again, celebrating our 50th golden anniversary.
Welcome to the first broadcast by the Monroe Educational Radio Association Network.
We'd like to thank everybody who has participated in this series so far, and we invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy an oral history of WGMC. At 50. You are listening to WGMC at 50. I'm Rob Linton, joined today for this episode by, I was trying to think of your title, we're going to say retired Polka Bandstand Show co-host Al Malutis.
Well, it's good to be here with you, Rob.
Did I get that title okay?
It sounds great to me.
Well, you have been involved with this radio station for many, many years. And one of the things we like doing on this podcast is going back to the beginning. How did you get involved? And take us from there.
Well, I knew Ray Serafin, who founded the program, I think, in August 1st of 81. For many years before I got involved, Ray had a band. In fact, he actually played for the wedding when Judy and I got married.
Oh, wow.
So that's where I met him. And then we got talking about his radio show. And he offered more than once for me to come over and sit in and when he was doing it. So it was April of 1994. I saw that where my future was heading on some things. And so I said, called Ray. I said, could I stop by and see you? And he said, sure. So I expected just to watch him and see what he did. Well, he put me right on the air with him in that one-hour show. And it was very interesting to see. It was at the old studio over in Apollo School, Odyssey now. And after we were all done with that show, he said, well, why don't you come back next week? Well, next week turned into 29 years later, and I was here every week with him. And really, that's kind of how I got to know Ray and got familiar with the radio station.
And as you said, Ray had started the program here back in 1981 and had done it solo up until that point before you joined. And you brought kind of a different approach once you became kind of the permanent co-host. Talk a little bit about the changes that came to the program as part of your involvement.
Well, Ray was always involved with the music, certainly. He had quite a collection, and then he would do News of the Community, which was provided by Gene Golem most of the time from the Polonia Civic Center here in Rochester, the Polish community. And he would do dedications. But when I came on board, the dedications I tried to really personalize. And over the years, I got to know many of these people as I went out to different events. Mm-hmm. They would come up to me, and I'd finally put a face with with a call that I would get on Saturday. And then I got to know the families. And when people were born, I was getting calls to say, oh, so-and-so had a baby, and we want to welcome them. Or maybe it was an anniversary, a wedding anniversary. So I could feel the personal touch with these people and try to really personalize each of the dedications that I did.
What was it like for you to, throughout all these years, I mean, you said it would be 30 years that you've been involved with the radio station coming up in April, I think you said?
Yes.
What has it been like for you with such a personalized program that you've had to literally watch some of these folks grow up, to see the babies, to see the marriages, to see the weddings, all that kind of stuff?
Well, it's certainly interesting to watch it go from generation to generation, and that's really what it came down to. I remember doing dedications for people that just had a child, and then in later years, I got calls from those kids wanting to salute their mom or their dad or their grandma or grandpa or babshi or jaji or whatever they wanted to call them. And it was interesting to kind of see that. And then in some cases, even watch those kids get married and begin to have kids of their own.
What was it about, and people always, kind of tongue-in-cheek say to us, hey, jazz radio station, but with polka on Saturdays, what is it about or what was it about the Polka Bandstand show that you think really resonated with the audiences? Even the jazz folks who may not have thought they were polka fans, what was it about your program that you think worked?
Well, the music is very upbeat in the polka beat, and it was very what we describe as happy music.
Yeah.
So people kind of like that, and it was a departure from jazz because jazz seems to be very smooth and mellow in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, you know, the trumpets blowing and the drums banging, and you would hear a very upbeat, happy type of music. And there was no other station in town doing a polka format. So having the polka format here at Jazz 90.1, or when I started WGMC, as we refer to it all the time, mm-hmm. it was interesting to see how people adapted to that. And the fact that they liked being personalized when they were doing their dedications. And I watched the show grow. I mean, I remember coming in initially with Ray, and he was on a Saturday, I believe, and then the show got moved to a Sunday. And I remember many of the things that we did during that time were fairly standard. This is what we signed on. This is what we said. This is what we did. So I tried to move it into more of a personal show. And I watched the numbers grow. We actually grew. In fact, we went to 2 hours. And for a couple of weeks, and I think Eric Gruner may have been the station manager at that time, we actually did a 3-hour show.
Oh, wow.
But 3 hours was a huge commitment because the polka show was actually produced by Ray Serafin, and all the music was Ray's music that he would bring into the station.
Mm-hmm.
So he would have to pull all the music, get it all lined up, get the play sheet prepared the sequence that we would play the music in, do the show, and then go home and catalog everything back into his library and get ready for the next show.
Yeah.
Then in addition to that, we also solicited sponsors for the show. So there was a certain amount of activities that went on behind the scenes, off the air, that the average listener wouldn't know anything about. And it became a very time-consuming thing. So we kind of retracted back to the 2 hours and continued with that. And right up till the last show that we produced, it was a 2-hour format.
Ray, a lot of people didn't know that, you know, the amount of work that went into preparing that program, the play, I always got a chuckle when I looked at his play sheets because they were so carefully planned out and thought out by him, and you guys just had a well-oiled machine every week.
It was, and I knew what Ray was going to say, and then he would look at me and he would know what I would say, and then if we had a glitch or something, one of us would jump right in, and it was fairly transparent to the average listener. And we had a good rhythm going down. It was a good show, and we've certainly enjoyed it. I know that Ray felt very strong about giving back to the community what the community wanted, and there was a need for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, when we started broadcasting at the radio station on the internet, we had listeners all the way from New York to California, down to Florida, Chicago.
Yeah.
We even had some internet listeners that were across the big pond listening to our show, even with the time difference. So we saw the numbers grow, and some of the ratings that were done by the station for the two-hour sequence, we had some of the highest Arbitron ratings that were being produced at that time. So it was good to know that it was appreciated by the listeners that we had.
And what's interesting is, you know, you take a look back to all of the years that the Polka Bandstand show has been on the air and how many people still now enjoy the show every week. You know, we've got, you know, Jimmy Sturz hosting the program now, but how many people still religiously tune in every week for that happy music?
Well, there are a number of people that are still doing it, and some of them call me at home yet and just tell me what they think and how it's going. And I stay in touch with some of the listeners yet today. But Jimmy Sturz has got a great show, and he's got a great music format. And I know that you've been airing some of the early shows that Ray produced. In fact, this past week I was listening to the show, and I heard my voice and Ray's. And it kind of made me think about all the years that we did that and signing on with the same thing and signing off with it. And I think that the listeners really enjoyed that.
Every week we still play that sign-off with you two. I think it was one of the last shows that you two did together where you guys did your sign-off. So we have that every week.
Well, it really took me by surprise again when I heard it because I was listening to the show, to the Stir show, and then the other portion of the show, and it was good to hear it.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of people know, too, people who know you know how actively involved in the community you are, you know, active with Rotary, active with, I believe, the planning board with the town of Greece.
On the zoning board.
Zoning board, excuse me.
Yep. Yeah. It's really been a community effort on my part.
Yep. And also a member of an organization that a lot of people may have heard us talk about before but aren't too familiar with, and that's Greece Community Broadcasting Incorporated.
Yes, Greece Community Broadcasting, GBC as I'll refer to it as from time to time, is an organization that bylaws in part say that they were here to support and advise the Greece Central School District on the operation of the station. Mm-hmm. And one of the main things that we've really focused on over the years is helping to raise money mm-hmm. for some of the things that the station has needed over the years that aren't part of the budget. I mean, you try to strive to be totally independent of the school district as it relates to funding. So in the early years of GCB, they actually cut the payroll to the station manager, and I've still got some of the records on that, mm-hmm. where they actually made payroll in order to get the full-time manager of the radio station.
And GCB has been around since day one, best I can tell, of the station, right? Or pretty darn close?
Well, there were about seven people that organized and formally created a corporation back in the early 80s. It was 1982. And then it was recognized, I believe, by the Internal Revenue Service as a 501c3 in 1983.
Okay, so about 10 years after the station went on the air then. Okay.
But there were some activities that were occurring before it was incorporated that actually this group of people, and these were all community people that came together that felt the need for a radio station mm-hmm. like WGMC, like Jazz 90.1, that has sustained itself over the years, and they felt very strong about making sure that the station succeeded.
You've seen this radio station go through literally the worst and the best. What's that been like for you to see kind of the ebbs and flows of budget crises, you know, equipment malfunctioning, lean years where we weren't sure if we were going to be there tomorrow to now 50 years. What's that like for you?
Well, I'll tell you, the worst part was when the transmitter goes off the air, because we would come into the radio station and the phone would be constantly lit up. It would say, "We can't get you. Where are you? What's happening? Why can't we get you?" Yep. And you would take all those calls that would come in. Well, it had nothing to do with Ray or I. It was all the equipment that was either bad that went down, or the weather that created a problem mm-hmm. with electricity feeding the transmitter, or a number of things. So those were the real tough times. And then you know, certain sunspots that would hit the air, and you'd have people on the other side of the city saying, "Well, we can't get you today. How come?" And they put a translator over there, which helped a little bit, but it still was very spotty as to where the station could be heard in certain parts of the city. And then watching when we upgraded the transmitter, and that was about 20 years ago, I think.
2004, yeah.
Yeah, 2004, 20 years ago, that we upgraded it. It was good to see more power and know that we got out, and know that at that time our signal was going about halfway to Syracuse mm-hmm. and about halfway to Buffalo, mm-hmm. and we were going to the southern tip of Canisius Lake. Mm-hmm. And we picked up more listeners. We picked up a lot more listeners as a result of that increase in power to the transmitter. And but 20 years later now, the transmitter is getting old, and it too is beginning to have problems. So now we got to start looking to the future.
That's right. Absolutely. And it's funny, you you made me think back to when I first started at the station, and just some of the old equipment that was cobbled together with duct tape and baling wire, and you know, maybe it worked, maybe it didn't, and you know, it we've come a long ways with improving our kind of physical plant.
Well, even the studio being over in Apollo, and I was not part of it when Ray was over to Athena, but I was at Apollo with him, Odyssey School today. everything was really old there. Mm-hmm. And I remember needing another phone, and it wasn't until about a year or two ago that that phone disappeared out of this station, but it was an old white phone that we needed because they didn't have the money for it, and I had an extra one at home. So I brought it in, and it was here for years and years and years because that was a shoestring that we were operating on.
Yeah, yeah.
And today, thanks to you and the budgeting and the underwriters that we get and the staff that we have on that are so committed to making the station a success, we are what we are today because of all these people.
And we are who we are today because of your involvement in the station as well.
Well, I appreciate that. It's been really fun for me. I've enjoyed it. You know, my grandmother was Polish heritage, and I grew up in a time when you had a little birthday party, a number of the family members would come together and bring their instruments and play a lot of polkas and things like that. So getting involved with Ray at the time and knowing that we could bring it to the community and I could be a part of that was really rewarding for me. And I know that we made a big impression on the community.
I remember fondly when you guys got together with the town of Greece, Supervisor Auberger at the time, and said, hey, let's bring Jimmy Sir to town. So on a very rainy day, we all went out to the Greece Town Hall. Everybody huddled under the pavilion and enjoyed one heck of a show from Jimmy Sir.
You know, I remember very clearly that day, and it was pouring in the morning. And Jimmy had played the night before in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And the town Cheektowaga's fair. And then on the way back, he was coming to Rochester. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, it is pouring. It is pouring. Now, the town had a big tent set up, which I was grateful for. But Jimmy's bus pulled in about an hour, hour and a half before the concert. And as that bus pulled in the driveway, the rain stopped.
Yep, yep.
And I said, I can't believe this. So the rain stopped. They got all their instruments off the bus. They got it all set up on the stage. The people started flowing in, and we ended up with about 1,000 people that showed up based on the head count that was done. And Jimmy got back on the bus with all his instruments and his band and everything and left, and about a half hour after he left, it started pouring again. And I'll never forget that. It was a great thing. But what was really rewarding is that we had over 1,000 people in the rain and inclement weather that turned out to listen to Jimmy Sir. And, of course, he's an 18-time Grammy Award winner right now. So we drew that kind of talent to town, and it was promoted right here at Jazz 90.1. Mm-hmm.
I'll always remember just the charisma of Jimmy. He walked off the bus. He's got his tan going on. Just the nicest guy, approachable. And really, and the smiles, the endless smiles from the people that came and saw that show. I was just, it was awesome.
Jimmy is a great guy, and I had the opportunity to travel with him on a couple of their cruises. They have polka cruises, and my wife and I had an opportunity to be a part of those cruises. And what you saw that day is exactly the way Jimmy is, very warm, personal, and you really feel like it's somebody you can talk to.
Yep.
But what an entertainer.
Yep. So last question, do you, of course, we lost Ray last year now, right? Back in 2023. Do you miss the Saturday morning show?
I do. I really miss it. I miss talking to the people and listening to the music. And while I tune in at home on the weekends, it's not the same as being here and being part of the production of it. So, it's bittersweet. I mean, you know, we ended on a long, positive career with it. It was certainly tragic that Ray got sick like he did, and it was very sudden and unexpected of his passing. But to answer your question, I do. Each Saturday, I kind of miss it. And then I used to enjoy handing off to sound bites.
Yep, yep.
And with Nick and Ray and, oh, my gosh, I'm going. It's just unbelievable the things that you develop over time that you miss when they're gone.
Yep, yep. Well, anytime you want to come back up here on a Saturday morning, we'll go on the air. I'll produce your show for you if you ever want that, you know, fix back.
Well, I won't say never but I don't have the music collection that Ray once had. And but I would enjoy doing that. But I would also tell you that the job that you're doing here with the radio station and keeping it as positive as it is has meant a great deal to the community. And I would encourage all the people and the volunteers and the paid staff, what few paid people you really have here at the station, do a phenomenal job with meeting the needs of the community.
Thank you very much. We are grateful that we're still able to have the Polka Show and all the other programming as well. And folks that are listening should know that you're still working hard behind the scenes as part of GCB, and it's wonderful. We're lucky.
I am, Ray, Rob, and I would tell you also that I appreciate that this is really a listener-supported station. Mm-hmm. I can't emphasize that enough, because on our show, the only reason we existed was because of the listeners.
Yep.
And when we were off the air on those days when weather affected the transmitter, it was gratifying to know that so many of them responded with a mm-hmm. phone call.
Yep.
And then at fund drive time, they stepped to the plate and they actually made their contribution to the station as well. Yep. And that's very important, because the success of the station going forward is member supported.
I'll never forget, you know, doing the pledge drives. Every one of the phones we had in the facility had to be manned, because your wonderful listeners were calling and calling and calling and making those donations. And we're grateful for the years of support. And we still need it to continue, because we still have polka programming every Saturday.
That's fantastic. And, you know, I know the community really appreciates it.
All right, Al, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you for checking out this episode as part of WGMC at 50, the podcast series celebrating five decades of Jazz 90.1 WGMC. Be sure to check back often as we plan to upload new episodes every week or two, celebrating those folks who have come through our doors, making this great radio station what it is today. Also, don't forget to check out our website. Our 50th anniversary page is loaded full of historical pictures, articles, audio, video, and so much more. This is Jazz 90.1 WGMC station manager Rob Linton. Thank you again so much for tuning in.